by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
There was a man who called the church one day, and when the secretary answered the phone, the man said to her, "I'm calling to speak to the head hog at the trough." The secretary said, "Who?" And the man again said, "I want to speak to the head hog at the trough." Well, wondering whether she heard him correctly or what he meant, she said, "Sir, if you're speaking of our pastor, then you will have to treat him with more respect." Then he said, "Well, may I speak with the reverend?" Woman said, "Well, I don't know exactly where our pastor is right now." And he said, "Well, the reason I'm calling, I would like to make a donation to your church in the amount of $10,000. To which the secretary replied, "Oh, the big pig is here right now." It has been said, if you want to get the attention of people, talk about money. Now, I know that it's also been said, some of you have probably even said it yourselves, all they talk about in church is money. All they want is money, money, money. Have you heard that? In fact, I'll bet you that if you were part of the group of people that were going after these people, somebody that you talk to is going to say, "I'm done with that. All they want is my money." Because that's what people so often think. You'll be happy to know that today we're not going to only talk about money. You see, the reality is, money is only one part of what God expects us to be good stewards of. Several weeks ago, there was a steering committee meeting, and I often ask the steering committee, I'm finishing up this section of sermons, this series, I'm thinking about this. And I said to them that day, "I have a gap between the last Old Testament sermon and the first New Testament sermon. So really, I guess today we're in the intertestamental period, okay?" And I said, "What would you like or suggest that I talk about during that time?" And there was a suggestion for me to take 1 week and talk about stewardship. Now, the reason that we need to do that is because we are a forgetful people. How many of you have made a budget in your own life and then found yourself drifting away from the budget and then making the budget again? Many of you. You know why? Because every once in a while we need to reprioritize our lives. Every once in a while, we need to refocus and think about those kinds of things. And the same is true in regard to stewardship. The reality is, absolutely everything we have is really not ours in the first place. It's God's. I know you got up this week and went to work, and you got a paycheck, and you went shopping, and you bought something. Okay? But all you did was shop for God. Because the reality is, everything we have is really not our own. That includes our time, it includes our gifts and abilities, and it includes our possessions. It's just that simple. And I'll give you, without trying to make this sermon long today, I'll give you a real quick understanding of that. Many years ago, when Adam was just 23 months old, he developed spinal meningitis, and it was the bacterial kind. Some people here remember that. And it was very serious. And his life hung in the balance, and nobody really knew what the outcome would be. His mother and I were young, growing believers at that time. And we quickly learned that he wasn't really ours. God could have taken him anytime he wanted to, because he really belonged to him. We learn those lessons sometimes the hard way. But the reality is, and the important part of me sharing that, is for us to understand everything we have is God's. If God gives you another minute, if God gives you another 100 years, and I'm banking on that, it is a gift from God. It is God's goodness giving it to us. And so, when God gives us time, and he gives us abilities, and he gives us possessions, he wants us to be stewards or caretakers, to take care of those things, and he gives us guidelines in his word. And he says, this is how I want you to do it. This is the way I want you to take care of these things. And there are some principles involved. I'm going to share 5 of them today. But the reality is, when we're faithful in small things, Jesus says we will be faithful in greater things. And so these are lessons that we need to learn. These are principles that we need to remind ourselves of, because they're so important to who we are. They affect every aspect of our lives. If you're following along on the outline, here's your first principle. Giving is an act of priority. And this is not only giving financially, although finances are going to be part of this. Giving is an act of priority. You know, when it comes to finding time to do things for God, many times we will give him time if there's anything left over. If there's anything left. When it comes to giving financially, many times we will give if there's anything left over. But the reality is that whatever we're giving, we are to be doing that in it's an act of priority, and God is to be our first priority. He's not at the end of the line. He's at the beginning of the line. In fact, he's there before the line even starts. A couple of scriptures that reflect this principle from a financial standpoint. In Deuteronomy, it says, be sure to set aside a tenth of all of your fields, all your fields produce each year. Eat the tithe of your grain, new wine, and oil, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks in the presence of the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. Now, I want to ask you a question. Looking at that scripture, just looking at that scripture alone, why does God want people to give to him first? Go ahead. Exactly. So you learn to revere him, so you learn to honor him in all things. And that's why. That's why God wants to be first. He wants to be the first one that we give our time to. He wants to be the first one that we use our talents and gifts for. He wants to be the first one that we give financially to, so that we learn to put him in his proper perspective. That's what it's all about. And then in Proverbs 3, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. In 1 Corinthians 16, it says this, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside of money in keeping with his income. In other words, set aside a sum of money that corresponds to the income that you have. That makes sense. Now, unfortunately, most people in this world will attend to taking care of their own needs and their own desires and their whatever else comes along, and then they'll think about, oh, well, I have a few dollars left. I'll give this to God, or I'll give this to somebody in need. But very rarely is it that the majority of the people would think, I give first to God, and then I take care of all of these other things. And that's what God wants us to learn to do, to give Him the first portion of our time, the first portion of our talents, and the first portion of our possessions. Every once in a while, when I talk about giving, I have somebody say to me, you know, Pastor, that idea of giving a tithe, that idea of giving a tenth of one's income, that's all in the Old Testament. And we live in the age of grace. How many of you have heard that? I won't ask you how many of you have said that. But I have a question for those people. And the question is this. When you open your Bible and you read the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Does that apply to you? Or is that just the people who were living in the Old Testament? When you open your Bible and you read Psalms and you find words of comfort, God is a refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble, does that apply to you? I hope it does. The Scriptures tell us that the promises that were given to Abraham are ours as well, and that we share in those promises. Now, we're not under the law. We're not in a situation that we're mandated. But the reality is, when we understand the riches of God's grace, we should want to. We should be delighted. We should be excited in being able to give back to God from all that He has entrusted to us in the first place. Do you know, although pastors get accused of talking about money, money, money all the time, the reality is that Jesus Himself talked a lot about money. In 16 of the 38 parables that Jesus told, in all of those times, He talked about people and their money, or their possessions, or the way in which they cared for the things that they had. Now, that makes a lot of sense. Have you ever thought about why that makes a lot of sense? You know, the reality is, there's a connection. There's a connection between our heart and our wallet. Think about that. There's a connection between our hearts and our wallet. Pretty safe to say that when God has control over our wallet, He very likely has control over everything else. He very likely has control over everything else. And I hope today you'll see why and you'll discover why. Dave Ramsey is quoted as saying, every dollar has a name on it. We need to decide whose name is on every dollar. And I want to make something very clear to you today. I'm not preaching this sermon because Bethany EC Church wants your money. I'm not preaching this sermon because I, as your pastor, want your money. But do you know what I, as your pastor, want for every one of us? I want every one of us to understand the blessing of giving God the first priority in every area of our life. That's what it's about. And one of the places, the key to getting there many times is the connection between our heart and our wallet. Principle number two. Giving is an act of responsibility. Most of you, most adults, especially within the church, acknowledge that there is some degree, there is a collective need for all of us to do our part in giving to the financial needs of this church. Several weeks ago, that's probably only 2 weeks ago, maybe three, I don't even know, I lose track. But a few weeks ago, we had a bunch of new members up here. That was, I think, the third time this year that we did so. And we always ask our new members whether they will contribute to the financial needs of this church in God's kingdom. But guess what? That statement is also a reminder to the rest of us that we have a responsibility, that we're responsible to help, to care for those kinds of things. Because every one of us, as part of the body, has a responsibility to contribute to the working of that body. And yet, as we have said before, 80% of the giving is done by 20% of the people. 90% of the work is done by 10% of the people. And so we have to ask ourselves, how are we contributing financially? How is it that we're using our gifts and abilities to serve the Lord? How is it that we're contributing to the work of ministry as we seek to help people to find Christ who can transform their lives? This has been said before, but is worthy of saying again. If everybody gave financially and gave systematically, you probably wouldn't hear a sermon on stewardship for a very long time. The reality is that many times people view the church as they would going to a theater. You certainly wouldn't go down to the cinema and buy a ticket if you weren't going to the movie. And sometimes people view the church in the same way. But the reality is that that portion, when we're not thinking about giving an offering, but we're thinking about giving God what He deserves or the portion that is His, that means whether we're here or not, we're going to set that portion aside for God. Now, many of you probably think, well, I do that. That happens with everybody. But I want to ask you a question. For those of you that have been around long enough to know what winter does to a church, think about a snowy Sunday. Maybe we take in an average of $2,000 a week. On a snowy Sunday, let's say we take in $1,000. Do we take in three the following week? Ann will shake her head no. Absolutely not. You know why? Because people don't plan to give systematically. I was on vacation last week. I'm signed up for the automatic withdrawal. Didn't matter whether I was here or not, because that money was drafted out of my account on Monday morning, as it is every Monday morning. And I don't worry about it. It's done. But the point is, that money is set aside as God's. I don't even need to see it. It just passes right from one place to the other. And that's a good benefit for those of you that are into that newer technology. But the point is that there is that portion that belongs to God, and when we do make it to church, we need to make sure that we're setting that aside for Him. The Apostle Paul gives us some principles of giving. They're in 2 Corinthians 9, and I'm going to just read very briefly those couple of verses. So I'll give you 1 second to turn there. In verse 6, it says this: remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. In verse 7, it says, God loves a cheerful giver. You want to see what a cheerful giver looks like? There you go. Now, when the ushers were going up and down the aisles today and they were collecting the offering, did any of you see anybody that looked like that? You know why? Because when we recognize that what we have comes from God, we're delighted in being able to return a portion back to Him. It is not that we're giving out of under the law. It is not that we're giving out of compulsion or because we have to. We're giving because we want to. We're giving because we know that God is pleased as we do. And so the Apostle Paul reminds us that we need to give cheerfully, because not only are we giving on to God, but we're giving to the needs of others as well. Principle number 3, giving is an act of worship. It is actually an expression of our thanks. Now let me ask you a question. Let's say you went to the restaurant and the waitress gave you excellent service. What kind of a tip do you give that person? A good tip. How much would you give that person? You'd give that person 20%, okay? All right. Now let's say, why do you give a person a tip? Good service? An expression of thanks, perhaps? I'm not going to begin to say that your offering is a tip, okay? But the reality is it's an expression of thanks to God. It's an expression of thanks to God because He gave it to you in the first place. It's an expression of thanks to God for all that He has done in your life and for the realization that because of what He has done for you, you want that to happen in the lives of other people. That's why we give. Giving is an act of worship. And I want you to know that worship can be costly. Okay? I want you to think about this. Back in Genesis chapter 22, a man named Abraham was taking his only son Isaac to be sacrificed. He was making a sacrifice. Was it cheap? It was costly. He was going to sacrifice his only son. He said to his servants, we will go and we will worship and we will return. When Mary broke open her alabaster box and poured that oil on the feet of Jesus, one of the disciples complained because that was so costly. That money could have been sold and given to the poor, or that oil rather. Mary's worship cost her something. There is an element of sacrifice. We are to be living sacrifices unto God. Worship is always costly. And so when we give in an act of worship. Worship isn't what just goes on when the band is up here playing and we're standing and singing. Worship continues when the offering plate is passed. Worship continues even now as you give God your attention. Worship continues as you open your heart and give God what He asks of you. Worship continues as we go on from here, living our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. I came across a couple statistics. This is interesting. The average American gives $649 every year to their church. And the average American spends an average of $900 per year on dog food. And the average American spends an excess of $1,000 a year on specialty coffee. You know, the Starbucks and that kind of thing, okay? You know what that says to me? That the average American is more passionate about worshiping Fido and Folgers than they are worshiping God. Now you think about that. Just think about that. I know what it's like. You know, you drive down the road, you see that sign, the double D's, or you see, you know, the Starbucks, and nah, I really could use that pick-me-up, you know. But we don't pay 50 cents for a cup of coffee anymore. We pay $5, and we don't even think about it. It's a matter of our priorities. Number four tells us something else. Giving is an act of trust. This is another portion that's very important, how our heart and our wallets are connected to each other. Because, you know, sometimes when we take it out of our pocket and we give it to God, it's an act of trust. Because we're not depending on ourselves to take care of ourselves, but we're depending on God. We're saying to God, God, I'm being obedient to You. I'm doing what You want me to do. And at the same time, we're putting ourselves in a position that we must rely upon Him to meet all of our needs. That's why God asks us to do that. In fact, God asks us to be obedient to Him in that way because He wants us not only to trust Him, but He says, go ahead, test me. Test me. And here's what is written in Malachi. It says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in My house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. You know what I believe? I believe when we honor the Lord by giving Him of our time and our talent and our treasure, He provides for us in ways that we can't imagine. And many times ways that we don't even see. I shared earlier this morning, most of you think I work 1 hour a week, but there are those days that life is nuts. There are those weeks that life is crazy. You know, a funeral here, counseling sessions there, people in hospitals at the same time, one in Bethlehem, one in Hazleton, and one in Pottsville, and you're just running around like crazy, you know, and then somebody will call and say, Pastor, I need, and you know, it goes through my head, oh, I don't have time for this, I can't do this, I'm not going to be able to do this, and before I get off the phone, okay, I'll do it, I'll take care of it, and whatever, and I get off the phone, and I say, God, how in the world am I going to get all this done? How am I going to get all of this done? I have a sermon to prepare, and I have a Bible study to prepare, and I have this to do, and you know what? When I do what I believe God wants me to do, He always provides. I can't tell you how many times I woke up at 5 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the week and God started talking. And I would literally take my cell phone off my nightstand and I would pick up the memo pad and I would start typing as He's talking. I've dictated many sermons in the middle of the night because God provided because I gave Him my time. I gave my time and put it where He wanted it, and He honored me for that. And God does the same thing with our finances. He does the same thing when we give Him ourselves to be used for whatever it is he has for us. He makes up for it somewhere. Many times we don't see it, but a lot of times we do. And the reason he does that is because it brings glory to him. He wants us to do what's right and trust him. And he will do the rest. You know, the reality is, our security is not found in ourselves. My ability to be your pastor is not within this structure. Our ability to go to work is only because of God. Everything that we have is only because of God. And I want to tell you something. No matter how much you possess in this world, your security is not found in your assets. Your security is in God and God alone. A lot of rich people, and they have problems just as much as the poor is the poor. It's just that way it is. But we learn to rely upon God. We learn to trust him. And when we give him what is rightfully his, it is an act of trust. And then finally, number five, giving is an act of attitude. Jesus said to his disciples, love the Lord with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. When we give of our time, talent, and treasure to the work of ministry, to be used in kingdom building, when we give to the needs of others, are we not at the same time showing what our attitude is? Again, that connection between what we say and what we do, between our heart and our wallet. When we recognize that all that we have is really not ours, God just allows us to use it. It will affect the way we take care of those things, whether it's our possessions, whether it's our money, whether it's our time, whatever that might be, we will care for it in a different way. I'll tell you a little story. There was a man, and he said, if I had more time and more money and more abilities, I would give it to God. But unfortunately, I have just enough for myself. Story goes on, and God heard the man's statement. And one day, God gave that man wealth. He gave that man talents and abilities. And God waited and waited and waited. After a while, God shrugged his shoulders. He took away the wealth. He took away the talent. He took away the abilities. And the man said, you know, if only I had some of that money back. If only I had some of the ability that I used to have. If only I was able to do things the way I once was, I would use them for God. And then time went on. And soon the man said, you know, I'm not so sure I even believe in God anymore. You see, God gives every one of us all that we have. He gives us financially. He gives us possessions. He gives us talents. He gives us abilities. And he expects us to use them to bring glory and honor to him. He gives those things and expects us to give a portion back to Him so that we will remember to honor Him and to revere His name and to give Him the proper priority in our lives. But He gives them to us to be used. As stewards, we have a responsibility to care for all that we have and use it to honor God. And so, let me ask you, what principle or principles of stewardship are evident in your life? What are the things that you practice as a regular part of your being? And what principle or principles of stewardship are lacking in your life? Are you giving the Lord your time? Does He have a portion of your day? Does He have a portion of your service? Does He have a place in your life? Does He have a place in your week? How are you using the gifts and talents that He gave you to advance His kingdom and to build His church? Are you giving of these things under compulsion or as an act of worship, recognizing that you don't owe just that portion, but really we owe Him our all? We really do. So what does your giving of your time, your talent, and your treasure reflect about the attitude of your own heart? It all connects, my friends. It all connects. The way in which we care for all that God gives us is an attitude of our heart and how we view our God. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank You for these sobering words. We recognize, Lord, that when it comes to money, when it comes to our time, when it comes to our possessions, it's difficult for us sometimes to hear what You have to say. Lord, as much as we've talked about money and possessions today, it really boils down to our heart. It really sifts down to our heart and our heart attitude. And I pray, Lord, that every one of us would recognize that all is from You. When we give of time, talent, or treasure back to You, it's Yours in the first place. We're giving You what is rightfully Yours. As a reflection of our love, as a reflection that You are our number one priority, as a reflection of our lives, saying that You have control over all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
The staff and members of Bethany EC Church would like to thank you for downloading one of our online sermons. We hope that this sermon was a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to visit our church's website at www.bethanyec.org to learn more about our church and our involvement in making Christ known. These downloadable sermons are part of our continuing online ministries. If you feel moved to contribute to our online ministries, please visit our website at bethanyec.org, where you will find a donate button. Support of any amount will help to ensure future free online sermons from Bethany EC Church. We hope you will join us again next week, and until then, may God bless you.